Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to my favorite time of the week, Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, coming to you from Bethesda, Maryland, where I am in between picking up various scrap metal items for people, and will then, once I have a truck full, will then go dispose of them at the scrapyard, and all will be well. I am parked in the shade here. I assume they're going to let me stay here for an hour's radio show. We'll see. I may have to move at some point. But, I'm coming to you from Bethesda, Maryland. A shout-out to our good friends at Enterprise Rental Truck at the Air Park in Gaithersburg, Maryland. I'm in a 16-foot box truck with a lift gate on the back of it. And everywhere I go, people look at this and go, man, that's a nice truck. Man, that's a nice truck. And what I'm doing today is I'm out by myself just picking up scrap metal from people. I'll teach you a little bit about how to do that if you're interested in making a few extra bucks. And I've got some wonderful things going on in my life that I'm going to talk about today just because of the timing of it and the nature of it. And I'm excited to tell you about it. A quick shout-out to my sister, Lauren. I have 10 siblings. I have 7 sisters, 3 brothers. Today is Lauren's birthday. I don't know what year. I'm not going to guess. But it is her birthday today, August 28th, and I wished her a happy birthday this morning by our group text that we have with all of the siblings on there. And it's just been wonderful. So shout-out to my sister, Lauren. She is an avid genealogist. She has helped me in a number of ways with getting genealogy information that I was looking for various purposes, and is married to a great guy, has 2 wonderful sons, and just has a wonderful life going. So I wanted to just say hi to her, shout out to her, tell her I love her, and happy birthday to my younger sister, Lauren. I hope you have a great day today. So, the shout out to Enterprise Rental Truck, and I'm going to actually shut the truck off because I don't really know all the nuances of this truck yet. I'm getting to know them, but that little sound you just heard, that high pitched sound, that baby comes on if you sit there and idle for a few minutes, and what you have to do is tap the brake with your foot, and then it goes away. That's all I know. There's probably a way to change that through the controls of the truck, but if you're like me and you go out and you suddenly rent a car or a pickup truck or something and you hop in, it's got all these electronic gadgets that allow you to listen to the radio or, you know, check the mileage or do whatever you're doing. It takes me like half a day just to figure out some of the basic ones. I don't know about you, but it's getting kind of confusing to just hop in a truck or a car and make it work. And I've been in this one for maybe a month or so. I'm still learning little things about it. So if you ever have that happen, don't feel bad. You're in the same boat as a bunch of the rest of us as well. So anyway, I'm having a lot of fun. I want to tell you just about a couple of stories that have happened, true stories. Number one, it pays to be a good Samaritan. Now, those of you that read the Bible and are Christian, etc., will recognize the story of the Good Samaritan, a person who went out of his way to help someone else when culturally they were opposite, they're kind of bitter enemies, actually, and others who passed by and should have helped out by virtue of their calling or their priesthood office or their lineage or whatever, didn't help out, and the kind of the arch rival of the guy that was beaten on the side of the road steps in and helps out, and the Jesus's admonition to all of us was to go and do thou likewise. So I've had situations happen like this. I was out in Utah one time in the Provo area, which is where I'm from, and I'm driving down the freeway going south, and on the opposite side of the freeway going north are three women pushing an automobile in the middle of the day off on the side of the road. Now, they're pushing this car, three women pushing a car. Dozens and dozens of cars passing by in the meantime. For whatever reason, nobody stopped and helped. And I thought, you know, that's just not right. So I went down to the next exit. I got off, did a U-turn kind of thing, turned around, came back up, and sure enough, there they were still pushing the car. And I pulled up behind him and I said, hey, you got to tell me what's going on here. How long have you been pushing this car? They said about 15 minutes, and they're out of gas, and they're pushing the car towards the next exit so they can try to get some gas, right? I couldn't believe nobody, and I said, has anybody stopped to help you? They said, no. Now, that's just not what Provo, Utah is all about. This must have just been an off day or something, because those people out there are as good as anybody that I know of helping somebody out when they need some help. But for some reason, that day, nobody was stopping. And my heart went out to these ladies. So I said, look, don't push the car anymore. You just need gas, right? And they said, yeah. I said, okay, hop in. And we put them in the car that I was in. I drove them half a mile or something away, went to a gas station, bought them all some root beer to drink. I don't remember what time of year it was, but my memory is it was hot when they were out there doing this, which makes it even worse. Got them something to drink and got them some gas, bought them a gas container, went back on the freeway, circled back around, came up and, you know, put the gas in the car, and oh my gosh, were they appreciative as they drank their A&W root beer. So I just kind of have always looked back on that story and just thought, I wonder how many people passed by and didn't help out in what's really the heart of good Christian people. As far as I know and as far as my upbringing has been, that's as good a place as there is to find people who will help you if you need some help. But for some reason, it didn't work that day. And that was my one Good Samaritan story. I'm going to give you another one just for fun. In Maryland, in my old neighborhood, we got some unusually deep snow one time. And at the time we got the snow, I owned a Bobcat tractor, a skid steer loader, a small tractor. And the interesting thing is that in my neighborhood, in my old neighborhood, we've got a few hills, and we've got older people and younger people. But when the snow hits, it's kind of critical because you need to clear those roads and the driveways and stuff to get some help and to be able to get in and out, frankly. And people are always a little anxious to know, you know, how soon will our roads be cleared? Well, our roads didn't get cleared very quickly, so I went and got my Bobcat tractor and came back and just started doing it myself. And boy, was I popular. You know, I would go around and start just cleaning off the streets so people could get in and out. Older people would come and kind of wave me down and say, hey, can you do my driveway? And I would use the bucket on the front of the skid steer to just drag the snow off the driveway, and in, you know, 5 minutes the driveway was done. And I guess just because of the timing and the fact that I was willing to help out, things worked out pretty well. The Homeowners Association later gave me $500 in traveler's checks to compensate me for my time. I didn't expect anything. I wasn't looking for anything. And one of the guys in our neighborhood was a news anchor back in this area, and he got a cameraman to come out, and they did a report, and they put me on the news on one of the major networks here and labeled me as a Good Samaritan. Now, there are lots of labels people can give you in your life, and one of the best ones, perhaps, that somebody could give you is to call you a Good Samaritan, even if you're not sure if you deserve it or not. So if somebody else thinks you are, that's kind of cool. Well, I tell you those two stories to basically lead in to the next story. We're going to call this girl's name Jill, just to make up a name here. And so I have had some of the most fascinating last 10 days of my life. I'm 67, and I'm telling you, these last 10 days have been an absolute adventure because of a situation that happened. A week ago Saturday, my buddy and I were driving home in the truck at about 3:15 in the afternoon. That is a little earlier than we normally would finish. So I came home, we were driving home at 3:15 in the afternoon. We were on I-270 going north in the Bethesda area headed towards Rockville. And I was actually on my way to drop, my buddy's name is June, like the month of June, to drop him off and then head home myself. And as we're going 60 miles an hour down the freeway, we notice on the right-hand side this small, kind of a pale green car was pulled over to the side of the road, on the right-hand side of the road, and there was nobody in it or around it. And about 500 yards down the road, walking away from the car, is this young lady in shorts and a T-shirt. Now, when you go by at 60 miles an hour, you know, you don't get a really good look at somebody, especially when you're coming upon them from the rear, but you do get a look a little bit at just the slenderness of them, and you know, and the fact whether they're old or young or something, you can tell. And we went by, and I just thought, wow, that's an attractive lady, and she looks to be kind of young. And why is she walking away from the car without a gas can in her hand or by herself? And I actually had this thought, that may not be safe for her. Some idiot could pull over and say, hey, girl, hop in the car, we'll take you to get some gas, and that would be the last you would hear of Jill. I mean, let's be honest, you never know what people are going to do. And it just, there was something kind of strange about the situation that she was so far away from her car, the distance that she was going to have to walk alongside the freeway. She's on the shoulder of the freeway. The distance that she's going to have to walk to get to a gas station or any kind of a place that might be able to help her is probably at least a mile, maybe a mile and a half to 2 miles. And she probably didn't realize that or know that in the area. But I turned to June as we're driving past her, and I said, that's, something's not right here. Something that just is kind of strange that she's by herself so far away from the car, walking away from it, and she has so far to go. I said, we ought to turn. I think we should turn around and go back and loop around and see if she obviously needs some help, find out what kind of help she needs or et cetera. Well, June agreed, and then I said, how would you like to bet, or what would you bet the odds are that by the time we get off the freeway, do a U-turn, go back the other side, do another U-turn, and come back up the way we're coming now, by the time we get there, what do you think are the odds that she will still be there? And June said, she won't be. Somebody will have picked her up. And I thought, yep, that's what I would bet too. So we get off the freeway, make the U-turn, go back down the freeway on the other side, and we're looking across the freeway now to see if we can spot her, to see about where she is. And lo and behold, there she is, and she has turned around, and she is now walking back towards the car. Now, again, I was going, okay, so there's a story. I don't know what the story is, but something's going on here. So we then got off the freeway again, did the U-turn thing, got back on the freeway, the direction we were originally going, and pulled back up and pulled up behind the car. By this time, she was back to her car. Well, we got the story that her right front tire was flat. And I have a pump that attaches to your battery. It's an automatic pump that will inflate a tire. But I didn't have it in the work truck that I was in. I had it in another truck that was about 3 miles away at a service station getting work done. So I told her that I've got this, and it would probably do what she needs to have done. And I said, and it was kind of hot, and probably in the 90s, low 90s or something. I said, we can go get that and come back, and we can inflate your tire, and then see what needs to be done from there. If it's got a puncture wound in it or something, we can even plug the tire for you and get you back on the road. Well, she was very appreciative of that. And I said, hey, you can stay here with the car if you want, or you can come with us. Either way, whatever you're most comfortable doing, right? Well, she has guts, and she basically said, no, I'll come with you guys. So she hops in the truck, and I was right. This girl is what we used to call drop-dead gorgeous. I mean, she is just a beautiful young lady and has got some car trouble. So I'm happy to help her out, and so was June. So we go over to the gas station. We pick up what we need. We turn around and come back. Well, she has called a tow truck in the meantime, and I guess she had called them before we got there, and the tow truck was supposed to be there in about a half hour. So we thought we could go get the air pump in about 15 minutes and maybe beat the tow truck back. Well, we went. We got the air pump. I went inside thinking about these A&W ladies that I had helped out in the past. I went inside the gas station, bought like 3 candy bars and 3 sodas, and I put them in a bag. And I came out. We opened up the door. I handed them to Jill, and I said, okay, you're in charge of the food. Well, she liked that. She laughed at that. So we closed the door. And so we started drinking some sodas and eating some candy bars on the way back to the truck, or back to her car. By the time we got to her car, the tow truck was there. And the brilliant man, we'll call him Jason. Jason, who was running the tow truck, was smarter than me. He had examined the tires and kind of kneeled down and felt the tires and looked at them. I didn't examine them. I just looked at it from the outside and saw that it was flat and it needed to be pumped up. He examined them, doing the more professional thing, and lo and behold, on the inside of her tire, all the way around it, it was basically stripped. The rubber was gone, pretty much, and she was riding on the exposed steel belts of the radial tire. And this right front one had just given out, and lo and behold, the left one was in the same shape. Now, you know, this tow truck driver even said to me, hey, put your hand on the inside of the tire and feel it. And I did, and lo and behold, bunch of really tiny metal rods is what I was feeling that are in there. And he said, she's really lucky both of these didn't blow at the same time, because the tire on the opposite side's in the same shape. And sure enough, it was. And what's happened is that the car is out of alignment, and so those two front wheels, as you go down the road, are kind of leaning into each other. They're kind of leaning towards each other, and that's causing the tire to wear on the inside of both tires, and she had worn out the inside of both tires to the point where there wasn't any rubber anymore. We're basically just on the metal. So it was a bad situation. So me inflating them is not going to help at all. So our tow truck driver, the only smart thing to do is you can't drive it anywhere and you can't inflate it, because that's not going to work. The tires were shot. He loaded the car up on the back of his truck, his tow truck, and then we followed him few miles, maybe 4 or 5 miles away, to a place where Jill knew a friend who worked there, a mechanic. And it's now Saturday afternoon, about 5 o'clock, and the tow truck driver drops the get. We arrive there at the auto shop. It's closed. It's 5 o'clock on a Saturday. That is the beginning of the story. I'll be back here after we're going to take a commercial break right now, and I'll be back to pick up with part two. There are about 8 or 9 parts here, folks. Part two, and we'll pick it up where we left it off. It's really an amazing story. I'll be back to tell you more about our experience with Jill. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on the BBS Radio Network.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Love that commercial break by our producer, Don Newsome, one of the founders of BBS Radio TV Network. Has a great radio voice and is just a great guy all the way around. So it is Saturday night. Back to our story. The reason I'm telling you this story, moral number one is it pays to be a good Samaritan. Moral number two is sometimes God just steps into your life and throws a blessing at you that you weren't expecting. We'll talk about that one now. So back to our story. And again, this is a junk removal show where we teach people how to get the junk out of their homes and their businesses and stuff. And we have a lot of fun doing that. But we also like to teach people how to get the junk out of your life. Well, one of the ways to get the junk out of your life is to help somebody else out and not focus on yourself. That's kind of the moral of the story we're talking about here, kind of in the capsule of being a good Samaritan. So Saturday night, 5 o'clock, the tow truck driver has Jill's car on the back of the tow truck. We're at the shop, friend of Jill's, who might be able to help her out, but the shop is closed. They're not going to open until either Sunday or Monday. And the problem is really pretty simple. Jill needs 2 new tires on the front of her car, or she needs 2 used tires, but she needs 2 better tires on the front of her car. Now, think about this. If we could find a place that sold that size tire that was still open on a Saturday, Jill's problem gets solved really quickly, and everything is better, right? And so I went to the tow truck driver as he is now starting to unload Jill's car off of the truck. I said, now, let me ask you something. What if we could find some place that's got tires that is still open that could change the tires? Could you leave it on the truck and just take us to that next stop, and we would pay you some extra to go there? Can you do that? And he goes, nope, unfortunately I can't, because Jill had, I guess through a family member or something, had called AAA, and you have to basically pick up the vehicle in one spot, drop it off in another spot, and do what, and then if you need to change that, You got to go back to AAA and put in a new request. The tow truck driver can't alter the destination or anything like that. So much for that idea. So he went ahead and unloaded the car. We kind of maneuvered it so it was in front of the garage door of the place that Jill's friend worked at. And it's now about 5:15 on a Saturday. And the tow truck driver told me, good, and this is a quote, good luck finding anybody open past 5 o'clock on a Saturday that can sell you some tires. And he said, you know, you could go to Paul's Used Tires, a good reputable company in the Gaithersburg, Maryland area. You can go to Paul's Used Tires. They're actually open tomorrow on Sunday, but they weren't open Saturday at that time. And you buy, he said, you go buy one tire, you replace this right front tire with that. Then you go back over and you buy a second tire. And he said, these tires are so small on this car, you can probably replace them for $30 or $40 a tire, right? And so I thought, well, that's good. When I my pickup truck, when I need used tires, I bought some from Paul's Used Tires, and I pay about $70 or $80 for my bigger tires to go on my pickup truck for a used one. Well, these smaller tires are going to run $30 or $40, but Paul's Used Tires isn't open. I told Jill, I said, hey, call Costco, see if they're auto center is open and see how late. Well, she called and couldn't get an answer and was kind of frustrated that nobody was picking up the phone at Costco. So I called another place. I called a place called Ron's Used Tires in Manassas, Virginia, and got a hold of Jose, a friend of mine out there. This is also a place where I buy tires. It's now about 5:20. And he said, yeah, we're open till 7. I said, that's awesome. I said, do you have this particular tire? And I gave him the tire size in used tires. He says, no, we don't have any used ones, but we have two new ones. I said, how much are the new ones? He said, $80 a piece. Now, that's what I usually pay for a used tire at Ron's Used Tires. We could get two new ones for Jill for $80 a piece. I said, what time do we need to be there in order, you know, for you to do this? And he said, if you can get here anywhere around 6:30, that's awesome. Well, that was an hour from now. And Manassas from Rockville, Maryland is probably 45 to 50 minutes. So I went to Jill and I said, hey, good news. There's a place that's still open, but it's about 45 minutes away. If you want to ride with me in the truck, we can just head out there. We'll get you. They have two tires this size, and they can swap them out as long as we get there by 6:30, and we can then come back and jack up the car, you know, again and put them back on, and you'll be on your way. You won't have to wait till tomorrow. And she said, the only problem is I don't have any money for the tires. And I put my finger up to my lips like I was telling somebody to be quiet and to shush, you know, and I said, I have the money, just don't tell anybody. And she immediately put both hands up to her face and started to fight back the tears. Now, it's one thing to help somebody get off the road, but it's another thing to help solve the problem. And I got to be honest with you, I wasn't worried at all about buying a couple of tires for this wonderful young lady who needed some help and get her car back on the road that night instead of the next morning, you know, and having to deal with it all the next morning. So, and we had dropped June off in the meantime, so it was just me and Jill, and I said, hey, hop in if you want, if we can get there by 6:30, we may solve your problem tonight. Well, she couldn't believe it, and she hopped in the truck. So we take off to Manassas, Virginia. So on a 45-minute ride, we start talking about different things, you know, just various things that pop up. And it was such a comfortable setting to be with this young lady who doesn't know me from Adam, right? And we're driving out there and just laughing and joking and having a good time. And somehow she was talking about her spiritual life, and she was talking about the Bible, and she was talking about how she felt like some of the parts of the Bible had been lost over the years, and that had led to confusion. And it's one of the reasons why we have so many churches that are Christian churches in the United States that all use the Bible, etc. She was talking about some of that, and I went, yep, that's what I think too, you know. And so it was kind of cool. So we get out to Ron's Used Tires at 6:40. We pull in, It's obvious we're going to be the last customers of the day. I've got two shot tires. There you go. There's the idle stop thing that's telling me. I've got two shot front tires where you can see the steel belts in the back of the truck. We pull those off. I go to see Jose. I tell him how grateful I am that he's going to help us out. He said, hey, no problem. And I'm telling you, of the number of times that I have been out to Ron's used tires, probably a dozen times over the years, these guys changed those two tires in record time. If it took them 4 minutes, I'd be stunned. They were rapid, rapido. They were so fast, and they changed those two tires. We got two brand new tires on the rims. They put them back on the back of my truck. It was about $160. I paid for it. She's got her problem solved. All we got to do now is go back and put the tires on the car. So I said, hey, by the way, are you hungry? I mean, are you, and she goes, yeah, I'm starving. I said, okay. So right there in Manassas is Jersey Mike's. So we pull into Jersey Mike's to get a sub. You have to understand that in my life, as a guy who's driving a truck around going from job to job, I don't go in and stop during the day and take an hour for lunch. I go in and I buy something at like Subway Sandwich, put it in the truck, and I'm gone. I'm down the road, right? Well, we go in, we eat, order some stuff. I paid for it. They made it to go. We come back. We're sitting in the truck, and she says to me, don't you want to go back inside and eat it in there? And I went, that's what a normal person would do. Yeah, I just don't think about that because I'm always kind of on the move. And I was thinking about getting back so we could get her car fixed so everything's good. But she said, why don't we, you want to go back inside and just eat it in there? I went, sure, I don't have anywhere to go. Yeah, that sounds good to you. That's fine with me. So we get out of the truck. We take our sandwiches and stuff. We start walking back. And in the parking lot, as I'm walking towards Jersey Mike's to go back in, I just started to laugh. I said, this is the funniest thing. I said, 4 hours ago, I was headed home to drop off June at the end of a workday. Now I'm here with a complete stranger having dinner with her at a Jersey Mike's in Manassas, Virginia. Who would have thought that that would happen? And she was laughing the same thing. I know. It's crazy, isn't it? I went, yeah, it's nuts. And I said, but it's fun. So we go back in, and I'm now on a unplanned, unofficial date with Jill. I mean, to be honest. And we're sitting in there just having something to eat, and it was great, and it was fun. And we walked back out to the truck. And we drive 45 minutes back, and we get the two tires out. We had propped up. I had jacked up basically both sides of the car. We propped up one side by borrowing a tire that was on a rim from the guys there in that area who were closed. And they had a bunch of tires out in front, so we used one of those to prop up the car on one side. We had the jack propping up the car on the other side. We put the tire back on the side where the jack was. Let the jack out, so to speak. Let the car come back down. Tightened up the lug nuts. Went to the other side, jacked it up a little bit, pulled the spare tire thing out that it was laying on to support it. Put the right tire back on. Screwed it back on, basically. Let it down. Made sure it was good, and all of a sudden Jill's back in business. And it's now about 9 o'clock, Saturday night. Jill's got two new tires on the front of her car. She doesn't have to wait till tomorrow. She can go home that night. She didn't have to pay for it. And frankly, she's kind of stunned. So as I finished putting the second tire back on the car, I said, there you go, you're in good shape. And she says to me, can I get your number? And I said, sure. And she said, tell me your name again. And I said, Alan. And she put it in her phone, and she said, I want to see you again. And I went, fine by me. Sounds good to me. And she took my number, and then she said, give me a hug. And I hugged this beautiful, I don't know that I can describe just how gorgeous this young lady is, but I'm 6'3". She's about 5'9 or 5'10". She looks like she just walked off the runway in Paris at a modeling, international modeling, you know, show. That's just the build that she has. It's quite stunning, to say the least. She's 5'9". I didn't know her age. I couldn't guess her age. It's somewhere between the mid-20s to the mid-40s, and I have no idea where it is in that range. And I have dated women in the past who are in their mid-50s, and they look like they're in their mid-30s. They just have the youthful gene or the youthful look or whatever. That could have been the case with Jill. I wasn't sure. But I just, I mean, you know, I guess I'm a sucker for beautiful young ladies who are 5'9". I don't know how else to say it. But she asked me for my number and my name. She said she wanted to see me again. She said, give me a hug. So I did. And I was happy to give her a hug. And then she said, give me another hug. And I gave her a second hug. Well, there you go. So that was Saturday night. And I drove home Saturday night going, this is the most amazing thing I've seen in a long time. I was just kind of stunned myself. And I kept saying to myself, what in the world just happened? And her car was fixed. She was happy as can be. She drove home. And she called me the next day. And, hey, what are you doing? And what have you got going on? Well, I did something that, and I had thought about, you know, I mean, I'm happy to go do more stuff with her. That would be a blast, right? What do we do, right? And I did something that I don't normally do. I kind of gave her a few ideas about, you know, some things we could go do. One of them was to go to a movie. And I haven't seen the latest Superman movie, and there was the newest Jurassic Park movie that was out. And this was a Sunday night. I don't usually go to movies on a Sunday night. I stay away from that. I'm the church guy that just kind of, you know, goes to church on Sunday. Well, I had been to church, had come back. She had called, hey, what are you doing tonight? You know, that kind of a thing. And I said, you know what? Do you want to go to a movie? She goes, sure. Well, here's the amazing part of this. I have this 16-foot box truck, a big, you know, work truck. I've got a pickup truck that is over at Redland Liberty because the fifth cylinder in the engine is dead. And that means you need a new engine in order to bring this thing back to life. And they had examined it and said that'll be about $9,000 for a pickup truck that has 270,000 miles on it. And I just kind of thought, no, I don't think that's worth doing it. 2 days after that, my SUV, my Chevy SUV, we were driving it home from a job. My guys were driving it behind me, and all of a sudden they called me and said, hey, the car stopped. And I circled back around, and sure enough, the transmission had gone out on this SUV. So now I'm kind of screwed. Now I've got a work truck. I've got the pickup truck in the shop, and I've got an SUV that we had to have towed the next day to the same shop so they could look at that. The only vehicle I have to go to a movie in is a big stinking work truck, right? And she came over to my place. We hopped in the work truck, and this awesome, gorgeous young lady didn't mind a bit. And I'm kind of self-conscious about it. And we take the work truck over to the Rockville, Maryland cinemas. And lo and behold, we go in and we're checking out the latest Jurassic Park movie on a Sunday night. And she didn't mind a bit riding in this truck. Now, that is a lot of class. And you can imagine how I felt when this gorgeous young lady didn't even say boo about having to be driven to a movie in a work truck, right? Most people would be self-conscious and say, ah, you know, well, that would be fun. Let's take an Uber or something, right? Not her. She was just fine with it. And so we go to the movie. The movie's fabulous. And It was great. It's a great movie if you haven't seen it. The latest Jurassic Park movie is terrific. We're there on a Sunday night watching the movie, having a great time, and I still can't believe what's happening. And that it had been like 24 hours since I had met this girl. And go from there. Well, that's part two of the story. I still got like six or seven parts to tell you, and I'm going to tell you those really fast in the last part of this break here, or last part of this show. So you're listening to Junk Refund Show here on the BBS Radio Network. I'm your host, Alan Cook, and we're talking about the benefits of being a good Samaritan and how sometimes God just steps into your life and throws you a winning bone, and you just go, man, this is great. I love it. Thank you so much. Anyway, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to take another break, and I'll come back and finish off this story and give you, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Okay, so I've got 20 minutes to tell you the rest of the story, and I'm going to do it in kind of rapid session. This is a story about this young lady, we're calling her Jill, I had met on Saturday. So Sunday night, I take her to a movie. She is a little bit cold in the movie. She's wearing some shorts, and she pulled up her gorgeous long legs under her T-shirt to put them on her chair so she can kind of get a little bit warmer. And I saw that, and I said, hey, I'll be back in just a minute. I went down to the main counter at the theater, and I said, you guys don't sell any blankets, do you? They said, you know what? We have some Snow White blankets from a movie promotion that was done. Yeah, we have Snow White blankets. Do you want some? I said, yeah, I want to buy one. And the guy looks at me with a big smile behind the counter, and he goes, if you buy one, you get one free. I went, great, give me two. So I paid $15 and walked off with two Snow White blankets, went back into the theater, gave them to Jill. She loved it, put them over her legs, and was feeling great. The movie was fabulous. That was Sunday night. Monday is an NFL preseason football game with the Washington Commanders and the Cincinnati Bengals. Normally, tickets to that game in the lower part of the stadium are at least $200 apiece. On StubHub, those same tickets were $22 apiece. And as I was thinking about, you know, Saturday night and Sunday, some of the things I could go do with Jill, one of them was this football game. Well, the bottom line is I bought two tickets for $22 apiece, put her back in the work truck, and Monday night we went to an NFL preseason game. And it was fabulous. This was a week ago Monday, and it was fabulous. Had a great time. The Chili Cheese Dogs, I highly recommend, at Northwest Stadium in Washington, D.C. They are terrific, and we had a blast at the football game. Tuesday night, she texts me and says, hey, can I just come chill at your house tonight stay there for a little bit? I said, sure, come on over. So she comes over, and we watch a Jason Bourne movie, and she stays for a few hours, and we're just chilling, just taking it easy, having fun together again, and she takes off and heads back home. Wednesday night, I have a Bible study class that I do, and I was involved with that. Thursday night, I'm getting ready for a job that is going to be in Vermont. I have to tell you, we did something kind of cool, and there's a little principle here in the how to run your business thing, I had a customer call me and say, hey, I need to move from Arlington, Virginia to God knows where, Vermont. I can't remember the name of the town that he's in. It's a smaller town in Vermont. He said, I need to move there. What do you guys charge to do that? And I said, well, we've never done long distance moves like that. We've done some around the metropolitan area, but nothing long distance. And he said, well, can you help me? I said, I'll tell you what. Call these guys. I gave him the name of a couple of reputable moving companies. I said, call these guys and find out what they would charge you. Get an estimate from them, and then call me back and let me know what that estimate is, and then I can tell you if we can help you. Well, one of those companies got back to him and said $4,500. And I told my friend Chris, who's the client there, I said, hey, we'll do it for $3,500. He said, sold. So we saved him $1,000. So Thursday night, I go over to Arlington with one of my guys, and we're checking out this one-bedroom apartment to see what we need to do. Bottom line is, Friday morning, myself and two other guys go over there and box everything up from 9 until noon. And I realize when I'm doing this that after the 8-hour drive to Vermont, I'm not going to need one of these guys or even two of them to help me unload it. There's only two or three dressers that were kind of heavy. There's a bed that was kind of heavy. And the man that I'm going up to help has four kids, teenage kids, and three of them are boys. And I thought, you know what? As long as this should work out, and if I take one of my regular guys with me, I got to pay him for, you know, 8 hours of riding in the truck going up and 8 hours coming back. That's a lot of money. And I was trying to save money because I saved Chris $1,000. But I could take Jill. And I ran it past Jill. I said, hey, would you like to go to Vermont? And I'll pay you to come up there because I got to, you know, you can help me. And I'd rather take you up there and save the money I would pay some other people. I'd rather pay you instead. And she goes, cool, let's do it. So Friday afternoon, less than a week after I'd met this girl, she hops in the same work truck, and we take off on an 8-hour run to Vermont. We made it up to Parsippany, New Jersey. I'm a member of the Wyndham Hotel chain. I'm one of their Diamond members, and so I can stay at hotels for points for free. And I got a room at the hotel. I ran this past her first. You know, do you want your own room? Or do you want a room with, like, two queen beds? And she said, no, just do one room with two queen beds. That's fine. So we did that, and that was great. And Saturday morning, I show up in Vermont at this guy's place at about noon. And sure enough, they all join in and help out, and we unload. And everything went great. They were very happy. The guy ended up tipping us $500 on this job. I paid Jill for her time to ride up, and I paid her for her time to ride back, but I paid her less than what I would have paid the regular workers that I have, but not much less. And I saved some money, and then I paid her for the time, the same rate I would have paid the guys to help us unload the stuff. And it was a blast. This girl I had known less than a week. I just took her to Vermont, you know, for an 8-hour one-way drive for 2 days. And everything that we did on that drive up and back was a blast. It was so comfortable and fun and awesome. And I had thought at first about taking her, if she wanted to go, take her and take one of my guys, because I wanted to make sure that this job went well, and I didn't want it to look screwy. When you move somebody, especially up and down, you know, a long distance move, you do it with a truck that's enclosed. I have a truck that's open. And so I bought a large tarp at Home Depot that would cover the whole back of the truck. And at the hotel in Parsippany, I took it out, laid it over the contents. I checked the weather before we left. It was sunshine from Washington, D.C. all the way to Vermont, both Friday and Saturday. No rain in the forecast anywhere. And it worked out to be that's exactly what happened. It was sunny the whole way. So we protected the furniture. We got it delivered. I even sent Chris a text message when I was an hour away. I said, hey, I've got a young lady who's with me who's going to help. I think we'll be able to handle this just fine. And I just don't want you to be surprised when I show up with an open bed, you know, an open truck and a young lady with me, when I should show up with a, you know, enclosed truck and another, you know, guy, that another professional guy working with me that works with me all the time. Well, he's very cool. He said, no, no problem. That's fine. Well, it took about an hour. We got it all done. It was fabulous. And came back home and got home at about 1 o'clock Sunday morning. She takes off and goes home. I just still couldn't believe this has now been a week, and I just went to Vermont with this young lady, right? It was awesome. That was what, 4 days ago or something? On Sunday. So I'm trying to think of what happened Monday or Tuesday, but I told her, I said, hey, by the way, and I love to go out and visit, and I've talked about this in the past on this show, I love to go out and visit the temples of our church, and it just so happens I'm headed to Europe next week to visit three of them, one of them in Paris, one in Bern, Switzerland, and one in Frankfurt, Germany. And I just, when Jill decided to go to Vermont, I was so excited. That's what I was hoping for. I was hoping I could just, hop in the truck, you know, and let's head to Vermont. You can help me. You can make some money. Everybody wins. And I was totally thrilled about the idea of driving with her. And the other two guys, it turns out, did their own job doing something else on Saturday and did just fine that way. So nobody lost out here. Well, the bottom line is I mentioned to Jill a day or two ago that I'm, you know, we were talking and laughing about this trip to Vermont, and she had told me earlier in the week about some of the places in the world that she wants to visit. One of them is Madagascar. One of them is Hawaii. One of them was Switzerland. And somewhere in the process of just talking to her and chatting, you know, pretty much every day we've seen each other for 10 days, I said, hey, by the way, I'm going to Switzerland next week. Do you have a passport? And she got all excited. She says, no, I lost it. It got lost a few years ago. I've never renewed it. And I said, well, I'm going next week, and it's pretty economical, to be honest with you. And if you have an interest in going to Switzerland next week, we should check and see if we could get your passport renewed. Well, the bottom line is, this morning, one of the benefits of living in Washington, D.C., we took an Uber down to downtown D.C. to the U.S. passport office after getting some forms, you know, sent over and emailed to us last night and stuff like that. And printed them out. We got all the forms ready and everything. You can do same-day expedited service down there if you have the right documents. And so this morning I went in and got an airfare for her to come with me to Paris, a nonstop flight to Paris, next Tuesday night. And it blew my mind. It was the same price that I paid 2 months ago for a one-way ticket over. Is like $179 nonstop to Paris from New York. I thought it was going to be $400 or $500, at which point I would have said, oh, crap, the airfares have gone up too much. I just can't swing taking somebody else with me. It's $179. But you have to have proof that you're traveling in order to get expedited service. So I went in this morning and bought the airfare. She came over at 8 o'clock. We took an Uber down there, and for about an hour we're in the passport office, and she didn't have a copy of her birth certificate. I was afraid that might be a problem and might throw the whole thing out of whack. And if she couldn't go, hey, I'm out $180, right? If she could go, what a great story that, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks after you meet somebody, you're off to Europe. I mean, that just doesn't happen. But man, what a great story. And the Vermont trip was so much fun. I thought, man, wouldn't this be fun? And I pointed out to her, I said, hey, if you can get a passport, you could be in Switzerland next Thursday. Right? Well, that was pretty exciting thought to her. The bottom line is, I went down with her this morning. We went through all the little checkpoints. There came a point where they said, you know, do you have your proof of travel? I said, yeah, here it is. Do you have the forms? Yep, here are the forms. and they said, do you have a copy of your birth certificate? And she said, no, but I've got Social Security card, ID, and other stuff. And the lady behind the counter turns to her supervisor and says, can we take a Social Security card instead of a birth certificate? And I'm thinking, I hope so, because if you don't, we probably can't get this together fast enough so she can join me. And the lady starts to nod her head and goes, okay, that's fine. And she comes back and says, yeah, the Social Security card is just fine. Well, 20 minutes later, they tell us in the U.S. passport office, if you come by tomorrow between 11 and 3, your passport will be ready. There you go. And I paid for the fee, you know, it's a little bit extra because it's being expedited. She walked out of there this morning, and I walked out of this morning. I said, hey, are you hungry? And yeah, I'm starving. I don't have anything to eat. So we had breakfast. She goes, you want to eat outside? Sure. So we had breakfast on Founders Market. No, that's not what it's called. Founders Farm. I can't remember what it's called. Farmers Founders. I don't know what it's called. anyway, some restaurant there in 20th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. And we're sitting out there having breakfast. And she's going to have a passport. And I just kind of looked at her and I said, you're going to be in Switzerland next Thursday. And she was, this whole thing, you can imagine from her standpoint, look at what's happened in 10 days. You know, she has a problem with a car on the side of the freeway. Some guy comes along, solves that problem, gets her two tires. You see each other probably 8 out of the next 10 days. And now he's taking you to Europe. Now, some people would stand up and say, you're the dumbest guy in the world, Alan, to do that, right? Hey, I've done so many things in my life that have convinced me that I am the dumbest guy in the world. But, hey, I'm also smart. At least I try to be. And when I see somebody that I really enjoy being around who is probably in the top 10 most beautiful women in the world, that's the boat that I was thrown into, folks, without planning. She's in the top 10. And I just thought, you know, it's got to start somewhere, right? And I just thought, this is the most amazing thing. Well, I just started laughing again this morning, and I went, you're going to be in Switzerland next Thursday. And that little dream of being able to take her to Europe materialized about 5 hours ago, right? We are having the time of our lives. And it has been 10 days. And next week, a good chance, we'll do the radio show from somewhere in Switzerland, I think. I don't know. We'll have to see how the timing all works out. But when the airfare worked, and it was the same fare that I had before and that I bought a few months ago, and everything, my gosh, we're headed to Europe next week, and I'm thinking, you know, that's perfect. We went to dinner the first night, then we went to Vermont a week later. Now we're headed to Europe for 3 days or whatever. Show me a better story of the first 2 weeks when you've met somebody and done something fun with them. You can imagine why there's nothing I could talk to you about on this show that could help people get the junk out of their lives better than what I've told you. I mean, this, you know, I could sit here and talk about how to, you know, get bags of stuff out of your living room, but who in the world cares? I'm going to Europe next week with this awesome lady who is so much fun. And frankly, is making my life better, and I think there's enough evidence to suggest that I'm making her life better, and that's what you call a win-win, and that's what life's all about. So there you go. There's my life in the last 10 days, and it's been absolutely fabulous, and I'm so excited. And again, I'm not betting on anything here in the future or whatever. I'm just having a lot of fun with this awesome young lady named Jill, who is so classy that she'll hop into a big work truck with somebody and go to a movie and won't complain or be embarrassed about it at all. That's a classy girl. And I'm just thrilled to be able to hang out with her a little bit. So Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope this has been fun. Every once in a while, something good like this happens, and it all started by just being a good Samaritan and trying to help somebody out who needed some help. Keep that in mind. Look for opportunities to help other people, and God bless you in your efforts to do so, because he's certainly doing that with me. Thanks for listening to Junk Refund Show. We'll be back next week from Europe, Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.